Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. In this episode, you will be listening to Embrace Authenticity and Transform Your Life with Dr. Joe Dispenza. Get access to the Resilient Mind Journal by clicking the link in the show notes. Enjoy.
I think the greatest relationship that you could ever have is with yourself. And taking time to be in the presence of yourself and ask yourself important questions like, are you happy? Who am I? And instead of getting up and getting on your cell phone and getting distracted, sit with your triple filtered water or a glass of wine or whatever you're into, JJ. Sit down and answer the question without being distracted. The contemplation process is the building process neurologically. And for me, I was just a guy. I'm a guy who loves God. I'm a guy who loves the divine. I'm a guy who loves mystery. I'm the guy who just never stops dovetailing information. That's just me. And I never really planned on doing any of this. I mean, my theories on life is make it up as you go along and take the value and run. And what the bleep became a sensation. And all of a sudden, I went from a normal guy to being a rock star. And I was traveling around the world and doing conferences all over the place. And I reached this point where I realized that I wasn't living the work. And that really bothered me. I was disturbed by that. I was really uncomfortable. And when you get uncomfortable and nothing's making that discomfort go away, it's time to evolve. It's time to make a different choice. And I clearly heard in my head during one meditation, stop making the same choices and pause. I didn't know what that meant, except that I knew that I was relying on all of this external stimulation to build an identity that I really wasn't. And then I had to show up for people and look a certain way and act a certain way, and that wasn't me. And it got disturbing for me. And I had this gap between the way I appeared and the way I really was. And I didn't make time for myself and make time to be the example. I mean, my motive is always be the example of everything that I teach. If I'm not, I shouldn't be up here. I shouldn't be leading in my clinic if I don't live those principles myself, if I don't live my life that way. At the height of my popularity, I disappeared. I canceled all my events. My friends thought I was on crack or something. They thought I lost my mind. Because you know what? They were saying you could make so much money. And I said, I know how to make money. I really don't care about money. I really don't care. I care about how happy I'm going to be with myself. And I broke from the world for 6 months and retreated. And I really decided that if I presented myself back to the world, that I wasn't going to be seduced by it in the same way. That I really wanted to be the example of everything that I taught, and I wanted to lead events in a way that empowered people. I never wanted it to be about me. I wanted it to be about you.
I think that the greatest belief that you could have is the belief in yourself. And when you believe in yourself, you believe in possibilities. And when you believe in possibilities, you have to believe in yourself. So people that enter this work come with a certain amount of chronic disbelief that they could actually change their life or change their health condition. When you see the scientific research that in 7 days a novice meditator, their biology literally looks like they're in a different life. Mm-hmm. And they're in a ballroom, and there's nothing very special about a ballroom. I've been to thousands of ballrooms. The environment isn't that stimulating. Those changes are coming from within. You see the data, and you look at how cancer cells, actually the energy in cancer cells, when you take the plasma of meditators, advanced meditators, and you subject that plasma to all kinds of cancer cells, 70% of the mitochondrial function actually diminishes in the cancer cell. Cancer cells love to multiply and they love to move. You take energy out of the cancer cell, you're taking life out of the cancer cell. When people see that data, it gives them hope. Mm-hmm. It gives them the idea that it's possible now. When someone stands on the stage with stage 4 cancer that has spread to their bones, to their uterus, to their lungs, to their liver, to all the tissues of their body, and you ask any physician who's seen stage 4 cancer in bones, it's very unlikely you're going to see a reversal. And you see the person stand on the stage and tell their story, and it's not glamorous. It's a real-life story. And there's no evidence of cancer in any of her tissues any longer, no cancer in her bones. The PET scans show that there's a complete reversal. That's the 4-minute mile. That's the person speaking the truth. And invariably, somebody in the audience is examining that person's story, and they're thinking, if that person can do it, I can do it as well.
We've been primed over time from thousands of years that the unknown is a scary place. And so then, by thinking the same thoughts, by making the same choices, by doing the same things that create the same experiences, that produce the same feelings and emotions in time, and those emotions begin to influence your very same thoughts, causes our biology to stay exactly the same. And so we afford people new information, new knowledge, new understandings, new philosophy, new theory. And we inspire them to make new choices, to begin to do new things and break the old habit and relearn, to create new experiences and produce new emotions. And in just a matter of 4 days, people begin to upregulate genes that begin to heal their body and change the way their body functions just by changing the way they think, changing the way they act, and changing the way they feel. The problem is that the brain and body locked into the past, clinging to the known and familiar, where the body has been conditioned to be the mind. The moment a person decides to do something differently or make a different choice, they feel uncomfortable because they've left the known and they've left the familiar. And if the body has been conditioned to be the mind, the animal, the servant, is now the master. And it wants to return back to familiar territory. And as we step out into the unknown and we feel that discomfort, the uncertainty, not being able to predict the next moment, the body begins to influence the mind, and we start to hear the same thoughts. And if we respond to that thought that's hardwired in the brain, and we accept it, we believe it, we surrender to it without saying, is this the truth? That same thought leads to the same choice, which leads to the same behavior, which creates the same experience and produces the same feeling and the same emotion. And the person says, this feels right to me. But all it is that it feels familiar. And so the process of change then is to become conscious of your unconscious thoughts. And the more conscious you become of your unconscious thoughts, the less you will go unconscious to them in your waking day.
If you're living in stress and you're living in survival and that system is switched on, then everything will be a threat. Mm-hmm. Everything will be a danger. Mm-hmm. Everything will be a reason to rush, to be impatient, to be frustrated, to be judgmental, because that's the consciousness, that's the emotion we're living by. So now you have a problem with a coworker, you have a problem with your partner, whatever it is that you used as an example, and you have to give a presentation. Now, you really have one of two choices. Either be victimized by those conditions in your life and you stay in that emotional state. And I'll say to you, Jay, why are you that way? Well, I'm this way because of this person, this circumstance, the person or circumstance is controlling the way I feel and the way I think. Anything that controls the way I feel and the way I think, I'm victim to, mm-hmm. right? Okay. Or I actually can be a creator now. Okay, so when it's the hardest, it matters the most. Okay, so there's going to be a story, a valid story that's going to go along with those emotions mm-hmm. that you're going to have to give up, that you can address at another time from a different state. If you're altered in that state and you say something, you do something, you write the email, you send the text, you'll always regret it. You'll always say, I should have never said that. I should have never done that. We got to learn that we're in an altered state at that time. So there's only one of two choices. You either stay there the whole day and tell everybody that story, or you say, okay, let me take a moment. Remember that this is the experiment called life. Okay, let me practice getting relaxed in my heart. Let me slow the animal down. Let me practice that. It took a few minutes. Now, let me breathe. Let me get my state back. Let me change everything. Okay, let me remember who I am, who I want to be when I open my eyes, and let me practice that again. Now, even if you had to do that 10 times in one day, I would say it was a day worth living. Mm. I would say it was a day worth living. And when we do walking meditations in our retreats, we're doing walking meditations so you can practice doing it with your eyes open.
Yes.
Like if you're going to be relaxed in your heart and awake in your brain, and you can do it with your eyes closed, okay, let's take it out for a test drive.
Yeah.
Let me open my eyes Let me pay a little bit more attention to my inner world. Let me practice feeling this feeling. Let me practice feeling this way, and let my brain do what it does. Let me get to finally change my physiology. Let me change my state. Let me walk as the healed person. Let me walk as the abundant person. Let me walk as if my prayers are answered. Let me walk in this state. If I keep practicing that over and over, it's going to become a habit, right?
Yeah.
So we hit it as many ways as we can. We have at least 7 or 8 different breaths that we do because we see how they all work in the brain. We have all kinds of meditations. We have sitting meditations. We have standing and walking meditations. We have laying down meditations because we want you to be able to do it with your eyes open, with your eyes closed, standing, walking, any way you can so that you don't default and return back to that person. Now, if you do default, you didn't fail. Mm. That's a program. You just went unconscious. And how many times do we have to forget until we stop forgetting and start remembering? That's the moment of change. Mm. No one cares how many times you fell off the bicycle. If you ride the bicycle now, you ride the bike. So it's the constant process every single day. And I think that sometimes we look for evidence in our life and it hasn't happened. And I think it's so important that we still show up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where you're changing the most. And when you get to that point where you could care less if it happens or not, because you feel so happy, so grateful for who you are, get ready because your life is going to begin to change in magical ways.
Thank you for tuning in. Continue strengthening your mind by listening to our other episodes.